This is Brother Billy. I'll say good morning to each one of you. Pray the word of God's going to bless you today. As the choir sings that sweet song of victory that we love so well, thank God for it. I pray you have it. I trust that you know the Lord Jesus. And if you don't know him, you can. Jesus died to save us. He died to use us. He died to have a relationship with us. And that we can know him in the free pardon of sin and know him in the great grace of God. We're looking in Luke, the first chapter. We're going to talk about some things this morning the Word of God has to say. I think would encourage you. You know, we need to stop sometimes and find out if our faith is real. And we see all the truths of the Word of God that when we act upon faith, great things happen. And when we act upon doubt, it costs us. God's will is not that we act upon doubt, but that we act upon faith. Luke, the first chapter. Oh, what a famous text here. We're going to begin reading about here. As you see this, the Word of God said something about this. In the fifth verse, there was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both now were well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office. Go down, you'll see it in the 11th verse. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And watch this famous passage as you go down a little bit. John begins to, Zacharias is asking how these things shall be so. And as the angel of God, Gabriel, tells him, verse 18 said, And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak unto the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words which shall be fulfilled in their season. As we see it, this is one side. We're going to compare some things here this morning of how sometimes we find it that righteous people, saved people. Now Zacharias, no doubt, he was God's man. And he'd been praying about a matter. Him and his wife had been praying about a matter of having a son. And God sent an angel to him, and he's going to show him some things. And here we find it that for whatever reason, Zacharias couldn't grab a hold of this. He could not believe it. And so the tidings of the fact that you will not be able to speak for 9 months, these tidings were upon Zechariah because of his reaction to the Word of God. And so how we react does matter. Go forward, you'll see it in the 6th month. The angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel coming to her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled, and she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom, verse 33 said, there shall be no end. And then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she's also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of thy Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days, went to the hill country with haste in the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice, and said, blessed art thou among women. Now in this passage, and we're not going to read any more for the sake of time, but we had to lay the groundwork here of what the Word of God is saying so it makes sense to those who've never heard the story. And when we see this, we find that there were two people here. One was an old man, one was a young lady. Both of those had great experiences with God. They both loved the Lord. We're not questioning that. But in their experience that we've read here in Luke, the first chapter, these words are not going anywhere. God's not going to take them back. You can read them. You can pore over them. You can study over them. You can pray over them anytime you like. But the Word of God in its clarity makes it very clear that here Zacharias could not grab a hold of this great truth. Although, watch now, you oftentimes we pray for things and we wonder why we don't receive those things, and many times we don't receive them because of the doubt that's in our heart. And Zacharias doubted God. And even when the angel of God showed up, he's not doubting the fact that he's dealing with an angel. He's not doubting the fact that he's there in the temple doing what is his duty to do. Zacharias is God's man at God's hour. But there's a problem here when the angel of God shows up, and for whatever reason, he can't grab a hold of this, and God is sending a word to him. And I like how Gabriel makes it very clear, because you have not believed, and because there's doubt in your heart, bless God, you're not going to be able to speak for 9 months. You will be very quiet, Zacharias, because God is going to stop your tongue and make you dumb. Now, oftentimes we call people dumb, and you know, we did that when we was youngins, and sometimes adults still do it today. And we call people dumb, but what we mean is that, you know, they're not very bright. But here, what we're talking about dumb is he cannot talk. God tied his tongue because he would not believe God. See, our reaction to the Word of God has consequences. And the way we react to it makes all the difference in the world of how our life goes. See, people, saved people live by faith if they're saved. But our reaction to that we hear, it's much like the Word of God today. Many of you today, I trust, will be somewhere, and you got a good pastor, and you're involved in a good church. I pray to God you're not going to a church where you're not being fed. What would be the use of that? When I quit feeding my cows, you know what happens? They quit coming. They quit coming. Though they'll see me pull in the gate, but they quit coming. If I quit feeding them, they quit coming. Bless God, you go somewhere where you'll get fed the Word of God. I'm talking about where they'll plow a row for you, and they'll feed you the black, white, red, white Word of God. Thus saith the Lord. They won't give you some of this mealy-mouth stuff. It's not going to help you. They're not going to give you lily liver, pansy stuff. They're not going to give you all sugar and spice. Oh, they're going to love on you, but they're going to preach the Word of God to you and share the truth with you, give you some meat and potatoes, something to grow you. And Peter said, we're not always going to take milk, but we need milk. But Paul come back in the 5th chapter of the book of Hebrews and dealt with this. And he said, everyone that useth milk is unskilled for the word of righteousness in 5:13. Everyone that useth milk is unskilled for the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So we're not going to stay babes forever. I've got some children, that's young adolescent children, and they don't drink milk like they used to. And you know why? Because they want a chicken leg, or they want a wing, or they want an old piece of meat of some sort. They want some meat and potatoes. Something's going to grow them. And here, God has Zacharias, and Zacharias, the angel of God, I like this because it's the same angel that's appeared unto him. Gabriel come unto them both. I would imagine Gabriel is scratching his angel noggin when he leaves Zacharias and said, how is it that a man's got a wife and's been praying prayers to God that she might bring forth? Now I said, she's going to bring forth. It's done. It's in the books. God's going to do it. How can he not believe? And look at where you're at, Zacharias. You're not down at the pub. You're not down at the joint. You're not down at the club. You're in the house of God, doing the work of God. Believe in God's word. You're supposed to be, but you can't grab a hold of this for whatever reason. He can't grab a hold to it, and God makes him where he cannot speak a word. And so here, fast forward and see the other case. I pray you'll take time, go back in the Word of God and compare these a little bit, because there's so many things that will fortify your faith if you'll get it. Here, this little woman, Zacharias, got a wife. Mary does not have a husband. She's a young maiden. She's a virgin. She's never known a man. She's not just unmarried. She's not like so many today, just living with Joseph and unmarried. No, she's not doing that. You know, so much of that goes on now today, and there's lots of reasons for it. You know, and we see it. I'm going to tell you, we see it in our older community too. You know why? A lot of that's because they don't want to mess up their check. And so on the young person side and the older person side, preacher, we couldn't dare mess up our check. And so we're just going to live together. And you're going to get it down to where we can understand it. We're going to shack, preacher, because we don't want to mess up our check. That's not Mary's case. Mary is pure as the wind-driven snow. Mary has never known a man. Mary is she's engaged to Joseph, but they're not married yet. She's a virgin. She's pure. And so we find it. Thank God for young ladies that keep herself pure. That's a lost art today, isn't it? And so in this loose hour when people will give up their purity at the drop of a hat, and sometimes they ain't even got to drop the hat. That is not the will of God. The will of God is that you remain pure until marriage, and that's what Mary's doing. And here she's not even praying for a son. You know why? Because she's not married. And so she's not expecting. She's not expecting. But when the angel of God comes by, when Gabriel comes by and said, "Hail," that means greetings, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, and blessed art thou among women. Mary is probably wondering, he's at the wrong house. He's got to be at the wrong, he meant to go next door. Those married folks over there, he missed his address, but no, Gabriel didn't miss his address. God didn't miss his address either. He said, "You're favored among women," and he began to tell her, and yes, she was troubled at that saying, I'd be troubled too. And she cast in her mind, now watch the wording of verses 28, 29, and 30. She cast in her mind. She's thinking about this thing. She ain't swallowed it all together right yet. She's thinking about it. She's cast in her mind what manner of salutation. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary. You found favor with God. And you're going to conceive and bring forth the son. And shalt call his name in the Hebrew. It's Joshua." She knew what that meant. She'd been taught all her life about a Joshua that would come, a Savior. His name shall be called Jesus, and he shall be great, and shall be called. You said, preacher, she didn't understand what was happening. She was too young. No, she wasn't too young. He made it very clear. He's going to be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. She knows what that means. And he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom, verse 33 said, there shall be no end. And she said, how shall this be? There's another thing, Lord. Angel Gabriel, rather. How shall this be? I've never known a man. And he explains it. He explains it. You know what's going to happen, Mary? The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. I love what Zacharias told, told Zacharias. He said that he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's not overlook that. Back in 15, talking about John the Baptist. Brother, these are the tidings of the birth of two great men. We're talking about the man, Lord Jesus, and we're talking about John the Baptist, whom Jesus said upon the earth, there has never a greater walk than John the Baptist. He made that clear. And so here, what did Gabriel tell Zacharias? He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. People said, "Preacher, you've got to do A, B, and C before God can fill you with the Holy Ghost. You better block that stuff out of your mind." John the Baptist filled with the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb, and you see it in the salutation of Mary when she came to visit Elizabeth, and when Elizabeth heard it, she heard it, the babe leaped in her womb. I'm going to tell you, John was so filled with the Holy Ghost, when he leaped in the womb, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And Brother A was doing some holy shouting and holy dancing along that time when Mary was greeted. And there Elizabeth is. Oh, she's an old lady, I got that. But bless God, she received the word of the Lord. And there's Mary, a young lady who's never known a man, but she received the word of the Lord. And one of my favorite passages right here is in this verse 38, because here is where the rubber meets the road in your life. What are you going to do with what the Word of God tells you? See, these both had the Word of God came to them. It came to Zacharias, and Zacharias, he wrote some things down, and it came to Elizabeth. Oh, he couldn't tell her about them. He had to write them. And so it had come to Elizabeth, and the angel of God 6 months later appeared unto 6 months between John the Baptist and Jesus, and they are cousins. That's right. Now, listen, Mary and Elizabeth's cousins. So Jesus and John are blood cousins. And so as she comes 6 months later, Elizabeth was in her sixth month, and here Gabriel appeared unto her, and watch 38, and Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. You know what our response ought to be every time God says something to us? "Be it unto me according to thy word." If God puts his hand on something in your life, "Preacher, I don't know what to tell God." Well, just take Luke 1:38 and tell him what Mary told him. "Be it unto me according to thy word." Mary said, "I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it. It's above my head." But the Holy Ghost said so. God sent his angel and he showed up and he's told me. And thank God, whatever God says is right. And I believe him. And be it unto me. Now, I'm going to tell you, if old brother Zacharias, God love him, if he'd have been like that, he wouldn't have been quiet for 9 months. And so here we find it that Zacharias cost himself the joy of that moment. I'm talking about the blessings of praise and the blessings of exalting the Savior. Listen, if doubt has shut your mouth in the house of God, then you are missing the blessing of God. You are missing the blessing of high praise. You are missing. Some people say, "Preacher, I just feel like somebody's hair lipped me and I can't worship." Well, get somewhere where you can. Go somewhere. I've been places where it was so quiet, a church mouse would wake them up. And so don't stay where you can't worship God. Zacharias is there. He can't worship. He's got no liberty. And so what's happened? He didn't believe God like he ought, and doubt will always hush the mouth of those that would praise God, and you and I are no exception to that. When we doubt him, when we won't believe him, when God says, "This is what I want to do," and we don't say amen. God says, "This is my plan." God sends his angel, maybe. God sends it by his word. You open up his text and you read a word, and the Holy Ghost, this ever happened to you? I pray it has. I know many of you it has. You read a word and God said, "That word right there's for you." And God said, "That's what I'm going to do." And you ought to say one thing: "Be it unto me according to thy word." And so bless God, Mary, she's going down to Elizabeth's house and they're having a hallelujah party. And Zacharias, what's he doing? All he can do is watch. He can't say one word. Doubt has hushed his mouth. Listen, when we doubt God, when we don't believe him, the psalmist said something about this in the 26th Psalm. He said, "I had fainted except I had believed." I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord of the land of the living. He said, "I would have fainted." And bless God, you will faint if you don't believe God. It will cost you spiritual blessings. It will cost you blessings in this life. It will cost you in the decisions you make when God shows you something and you choose not to believe it. I don't know how many I've talked to that said, "Preacher, if I only would have done what God showed me back there, if I only would have obeyed and God said go and I wouldn't go, God said do this and I wouldn't do it." It's not the fact that God doesn't communicate to his people, but it's that some people choose to believe it and some choose not to believe it. And instead of doubting and questioning, Zacharias ought to have been doing one thing. You say, "Well, preacher, what about 1 John? John said, try the Spirit. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the Spirit. Will they be of God?" That's right. We ought to try the Spirit. But how long does it take to try it? And I'm going to tell you, when God's host shows up, when his Spirit shows up, and his angel, and his representative, and his prophet, it don't take long to try them. And so what's Mary doing? She's cast some things in her mind. She's trying the Spirit. She's wondering about this salutation. Oh, she's checking on it. But bless God, she believes it. And he said these things are going to happen. And listen, your cousin Elizabeth, she's already with child. And so now watch now as Mary goes down and pays a visit. And the word said, this, that blessed art thou among women, is what Elizabeth said. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And verse 44, for lo, that means look, stop and look. As soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my womb, in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she. People said, "Preacher, that's not possible. That child's got an umbilical cord and he'll strangle himself." You say what you want to. Listen, the word of God said that the babe John the Baptist in his mother's womb, Elizabeth was not ignorant of this. She was filled with the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost right there. And she said, "The babe leaped in my womb for joy." And blessed is she that believed. Watch now. You said, "Preacher, I want to be so blessed of the Lord." Well, there's only one way to get there, and that is believing God. Believing him. Listen, salvation's by faith. And salvation, the only way we can be saved by faith. If you can't believe God to be saved, you dead sure can't believe God any other way. And those of you that are saved, think about it. How did you get saved? You believed God. You said, "Preacher, God imparted saving faith into my heart." That's right. And he caused you to believe him. And Christ dwells there. And it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And listen, it's believing God's word. It's watching those like Abraham that believe. For what saith the scripture? I love this place over in Romans 4:3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. The whole sum of our faith is based upon believing God. Now if I can believe God can save me, and I can believe God can cast my sins as far as the east is from the west, and if I can grab a hold of that by faith, then why can't I believe God to perform his promises, to bring his word to pass? And Mary, she don't have a lot of education. She's a simple little girl. But bless God, she's God's girl for the moment. And God said, "Mary, God's chosen you." The angel said, "He's chose you, Mary." And she said, maybe in her heart, she said, "I don't understand it. I can't even grab a hold to it." Listen, people said, "Preacher, I thought, you know, that only happened to noble people and mighty people and honorable people." No, Paul said those people are not called. Not many mighty, not many noble, not many of those are called, but God chose the weak things and the base things. And here he chose a little girl, and he has come and spoke to her, and she's never known a man, and she has just done one thing right. She believed God. Listen, I don't care where you're located or what your case is or what you've heard before. If you are in tune with God, if you're saved by his marvelous grace and God is showing you something, the only duty that you have to God is to believe him, whatever he tells you. Now we see this in the word. Watch this. I'm thinking about this famous passage in John 2:5. When Mary, same Mary, that's right, and her boy is full grown now, and Jesus began to minister about the age of 30, and Jesus went to the marriage of Cana in Galilee in the second chapter of the book of John, and they didn't have no wine. The wine run out. And so, you know, they're not tanking up. That, you know, the water's no count. And so this was the fruit of the vine God gave them. And much like we would, drink things today beside water, they drank wine. And, you know, oftentimes there's a difference between fermented wine, unfermented wine, strong drink. And God's clarified that through His Word. We're not getting into that. But here, to settle this in your heart, Jesus' mother in John 2:5, he told them to do some things, and they looking over her way, and she's got one thing to say. She's not forgot about this matter of faith. Oh, that's right, it was 30 years ago plus when this all happened, and the angel of God showed up. But she's not forgot. She's not forgot how to believe God. Some of you been saved a while and you forgot how to believe Him. God still speaks, and God still works, and God's still God. But Mary hadn't forgot, and you don't need to forget. Maybe that's Zachariah's case. Maybe sometimes we've been saved and in this way a while, and some of you get cold-hearted, and you get in your little trance, your little spiritual trance, and you become little spiritual minions, and you get in your routines, and the week begins to be so repetitive, you just lose your edge on how to believe God. God doesn't want you to do that. Mary hadn't done that, and they looked at Mary. And Mary said this, whatever He saith unto you, do it. Whatever He says. Bless God, Mary said, I ain't forgot about what God done. Whatever He says unto you, you do it. And brother, that's the word today. Whatever God says is what we will do if we're going to have joy. If we're going to have joy, we're going to have to believe Him. We're going to have to obey Him. We're going to have to walk. People say, preacher, I believe God. I just don't obey God. No, you don't. You don't. If you believe God, you would obey Him. If you believe God, you love Him enough to obey Him. And if God's warnings are so, and you believe them, you'd live like you believe them. And so quit fooling yourself. Quit hanging your hat on something that happened back when you were 7 or 8 in vacation Bible school. If that was not salvation enough to change you, then it was not salvation enough to save you, and you are lost, or you're severely in a backslidden state. But you need to do what 2 Corinthians 13:5 said. Paul said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. And so what do? We prove ourselves. We check ourselves. We examine ourselves. And Paul said, if Christ is not in you, you are a castaway. If Christ is not in you, you are rejected. God is not in you if you are not saved. And so here Mary said, whatever He says, do it. And so there's an outcome to our faith, and there's an outcome to how we believe Him. Let's talk about saved people again. When saved people believe God, you know what it does? It opens up the avenue of praise. If I won't believe Him, I cannot praise Him. See, my praise is tied to my faith, and my praise is tied to my obedience. You said, preacher, I'm not into all this praise stuff. Well, maybe that's what's wrong in your life. Maybe you don't understand that the joy of the Lord's your strength. The joy of the Lord. And so I like that passage over to Isaiah 12:3, where He said, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And some of you have cut the rope on your joy line, and you cannot draw water out of the wells of salvation, and your joy, bless God, you have lost the joy God gave you when He saved you. And the reason is you don't understand, or either you become very lax about this matter, and you just won't believe God, and therefore you cannot celebrate with God and worship God and praise God. Now, you can do it at the ball field. You can do it down at the stadium. You can do it at the gym. You can do it anywhere else you want to. Oh, you get loud there. It's not a problem. You ain't like Zacharias, lost your voice. You've lost your joy. Zacharias didn't believe Him. He lost his voice. We don't believe Him. We lose our joy. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water. And bless God, I draw from my salvation experience. I do that with joy. And the joy of the Lord is my strength, Nehemiah said in the 8th chapter, the 10th verse. And so we got to get this. John 15:11, Jesus said, these things I speak unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and your joy might be full. Now, as we see it, we're closing now. Watch 46. And Mary said, people said, preacher, I wished I knew this joy stuff was real. We got to go. Watch it now. When Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Is your soul magnifying God today? Is your spirit rejoicing in God? Is it? Or is it rejoicing in the world? Rejoicing in the flesh? Rejoicing in the things of this life? No, Mary said, "I'm not there." No, Zacharias is over there. He's quiet. He can't say a word. I don't even believe Zacharias can moan and groan. Now, there's lots of moaning and groaning going on, but I'm thinking Zacharias can't even moan and groan right now. He dead sure ain't doing what Mary and Elizabeth doing. Did you see that? Mary's filled. She's filled. Elizabeth is filled. The babe's filled. Everybody's filled but Zacharias. Why? Because he won't believe God. And it cost us. And here my spirit's rejoiced in God my Savior. And Mary goes on and says in the 49th verse, the last thing I want to see, "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things." God wants to do great things to you, church. He wants to do great things for you, sir. For you, ma'am, on your behalf, God wants to move. Young person, you want to be exceptional for God? He will. He'll pick you. He'll choose you. He will use you. God is looking for one willing servant that wants to be used. It don't matter what side of the tracks you're on. It don't matter about the color of your skin. It don't matter about your regard in the community. God wants to use you. God wants to put his hand on your life. If you'll only do what Mary done and believe him. That's where the blessings lie. Father, take your word today and speak it. Speak it to hearts. God, make it real. Make it so. Oh, God, affect us by what we've heard. Cause us to believe. God, give us a heart of faith. Even to the saved person that's defeated today. God, I pray you revive them. Oh, God, give us a little reviving. Hallelujah. And we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen.